Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We'll follow up now on the news that Attorney General Andrew Cuomo has recused himself from the ongoing investigation of Governor David Paterson and the settlement in the $650 million web of lawsuits against New York City from 9/11 workers, responders who became sick as a result of their efforts. Both stories have legal and social repercussions. So as the one story deepens and the other concludes, perhaps, we are joined now to discuss both situations by WNYC political reporter Bob Henley and Chris Fisher, who's the editor-in-chief of the New York Law Journal. Hi, Bob.
Hi.
And hi, Chris. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you.
So, Bob, Cuomo's decision, first of all, to step away from the investigation of Paterson and to appoint Judith Kaye, who retired recently as the chief judge of New York State. She's now special prosecutor. This was a surprise, right? He had given no indication that he had reservations about his own ability to complete this case.
No, actually, up until that day, the Attorney General's office had been referring inquiring reporters to constitutional experts and ethicists in the legal profession who would say there was no conflict because they were saying that Governor Paterson had removed himself from a candidacy, which would remove the appearance of a conflict because it's widely anticipated that Attorney General Andrew Cuomo will throw his hat in the ring. But I think a number of things happened. One is investigation became investigations, and that plural was very important in the sense that the Ethics Commission alleged in a filing that it turned over to law enforcement that the governor actually perjured himself. That becomes not the kind of investigation that the governor had asked for of the state police, but an ethics panel calling for the criminal investigation of a sitting governor. That's a very different matter.
The perjury was with respect to the Yankees tickets,
right,
and when he claimed to have written a check to the Yankees,
right,
correct?
And the timing involved and the intention involved and the narrative involved, all of that created a problem. Also, time continues to move forward. There is, at the end of May, a Democratic convention, state convention, at which point, hopefully by that point, we'll have a sense of who's running for governor. Cuomo was aware of that. And I think this is one of these cases where the political thing and the legal thing, the right thing to do, turned out to be the same thing.
So, Chris Fisher from the New York Law Journal, where do we start with this election of Judge Judith Kaye? Of course, she was the chief judge of New York State. That means she was the number one. It's like being chief justice at the federal level of the Supreme Court. She was the chief judge on the Court of Appeals, the state's highest court. She had done that for many years. She retired recently because she turned 70, and it's actually a mandatory retirement age in New York State. That's another conversation, whether there should be mandatory retirement ages for public officials.
And most 70-year-old judges will say no.
Right. But she, when she came on the show around her retirement, she wasn't ready to argue that case. But were you surprised to see her as the special prosecutor now? I don't believe she's had prosecutorial experience, has she?
No, she has not. That's right. It was a surprise because she has not had prosecutorial experience. It was probably not a surprise because of who she is. As chief judge, it's interesting to note that that position is really two very full-time jobs. One is akin, as you said, to Justice Roberts, the chief of the U.S. Supreme Court, and that's being the chief judge of the Court of Appeals, the seven judges who sit on the state's top court. But the other job is to be the head of the Office of Court Administration, which is the head of the state courts, and that's a $2.4 billion agency with 1,300 plus judges and 16,000 employees, and the day-to-day running of the operation of the courts. And she was visible every day in the courts, in the press, probably, because of the changes she tried to make in the courts and bringing it into the 21st century. So
people may remember she spearheaded the reforms in the jury system.
The jury.
That now make more people have to serve, but also it's a little more user-friendly, finding
family
out what...
Family law. She had a big role in family law.
Family law. I mean, she has a very, very good reputation.
Family law, drug law, all of that. And that's exactly right.
And she was also known for unanimous decisions on the Court of Appeals. Appeals, even
correct.
Though the appointees were from different party governors, right?
Correct, correct. She really fostered collegiality. She wanted consensus on the court. She was known for her intelligence, for her thoroughness, for taking care of every detail. Also, she's also known for using the power of her office. She quite understood the power of the chief judge. When she would call, Bob mentioned family courts, when she would call city and state agencies and say, can't we do this better? Can't we make adoptions more efficient? Can't we streamline the process? Can we have a meeting? People would show up. She was quite astute with that power. She's forever gracious. She has a great sense of humor. She's a real people person. She remembers everyone's name. And she became, someone that a lot of people felt they could really talk to and who would fix problems. The other thing about Judge Kay that was no secret is that she cares very, very much about her legacy, very, very much about her reputation. And so when she was appointed by Cuomo, I think what most of the defense attorneys, people who had been on the prosecutor side, said it didn't so much matter that she wasn't a prosecutor. What the point was here was pointing someone with her integrity.
Mm-hmm.
She has no other position that she needs. She has no money that she needs.
She's also doing it for free. She's doing it pro bono, which right now is a good...
So, correct.
So, Bob,
unlike
is there...
the Binghamton investigation where she had her firm of Skadden Arps bring in investigators and charge the state, she is doing this pro bono.
So, Bob, do we assume, A, that she has no political agenda, and B, even if she has no political agenda, can we assume that she's got that her history suggests that she's got leanings in any direction or another? You know, maybe as she's relatively
well, she was appointed by Andrew Cuomo's father, Mario, to the mm-hmm. court. But I think what's important here to understand is there is an all-star cast supporting her. Ellen Bybin, former Morgenthau prosecutor, is the bureau chief for public corruption. There's a committed group of investigators and attorneys who are really career prosecutors committed to doing the right thing. She's coming in to manage that, if you will. So it's not like she's going to tear it up and start all over again. So there'll be continuity in terms of the investigation. It's important to understand what we do know from a very rare window into this investigation is that hundreds of pages of documents have been reviewed. Thousands of emails have been looked at. Dozens of witnesses have been interviewed, except for the principals. They have left the governor and the key people towards the end, which is a key prosecutorial mm-hmm. technique. You start with the minor folks and build to the central characters.
So does Judge Kay interview Governor Patterson personally or have one of the experienced prosecutors?
I would imagine. I would defer to our legal expert here, but... wouldn't they leave that to the career prosecutors?
Chris?
They might very well leave that to the career prosecutors. Yes.
All right. The other big story that we want to touch on is the settlement for 9/11 responders who've gotten sick in the intervening years, really since the settlement in 2003 for families and other immediate victims. Does the $657 million settlement... Bob, in your opinion, or how do we come to grips with that number to try to figure out whether it brings some justice to the men and women dealing with the health effects of their actions?
Well,
nine
I know
years
that
ago.
The head of the detectives union, Mike Palladino, was adamant that it does not. If anything, it's caused a flashpoint in the survivor community. There's a great deal of anger about it. One of the things...
because they need a 95% approval
right,
rate...
I don't think they're going to get it.
...among the plaintiffs.
Right. And once the numbers for what the lawyers get out of it come out, you'll see it boil over into absolute rage. I think the other issue that we have to look at here is that as difficult as the trial system is, it is the best way to get information out into the public. And there's tremendous concern that there already is on the record under sworn deposition very critical information about poor performance by the EPA and OSHA that is not yet in the public domain. And advocates for worker safety want that information into the light of day. Also, it hangs here in the balance is the fate of the Zadroga Act, which is pending in Congress, which would take a more progressive and universal approach. There's a concern that this would be too little for too small a class of individuals.
So some incentives to go to trial, including putting things on the public record about what EPA under Christy Whitman
and OSHA, right,
and et cetera, were doing at the time. So Chris Fisher from New York Law Journal, Bob Manchin, backlash against lawyers, and it seems to be breaking out against lawyers on both sides and the fees they will get. I've heard, for example, that the judge in the case, even if the settlement goes forward, that the judge could reduce the plaintiff's lawyer's fees. Typically, a litigation lawyer gets a third of a settlement, and that this judge may decide to knock it down to as low as 15%. Can they do that?
Yes, they can. And I think there is a balancing act that they try to do. You want to, in cases like this that are so public, so traumatic, that have involved so many people, there is this balancing test. How do you keep the fees high enough to get attorneys to get completely involved and handle something like this? Now, this was, I think, almost every lawyer on the city side, on every side, the plaintiff side, the defendant side, would tell you that this was very complex. This is not a regular situation. It's complex. It's novel. They've tried certain things. How do you pay the attorneys enough to keep them involved, but not be sort of shock the conscience by letting them walk off with 30%, because then that money does not go to these victims, even though the lawyers have put in so much time and effort. And this has been 6 years, I believe, in the settlement. Isn't it, Bob? It's something like this.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Hammering this out for many, many years. And one of the things about going to trial, while it is public, and all of those are good arguments, it could take, we're already 10 years after 9/11, or 9 years after 9/11. It could be certainly 2014, 2016 before some of these cases.
And many of the people may have passed, the affected class,
who
will be lost among the people that are
correct
in this class.
This is a kind of let's take the money and run situation for some people, too. But a judge can certainly say, you know, we want to reward you for this, but 30% is way too high. He has had history of knocking in wrongful death cases down to 15%. And, you know, 15% is still a huge amount of money. So he can do that, and I think that there will be more hearings on that. I think we're certainly going to be following that process, too, to see what he does about fees.
Before you go, Chris, a listener wants to know why the lawsuit is against the city and not the federal government.
That's it's a good question. The city is, these were the first responders. I believe the federal government, correct me, Bob, did they have some role in this?
Well, the city was the primary principal responsible party on the ground.
On the
controlled
ground
access
time, right,
to it. If you wanted to do anything, get access there. This was all secured by the NYPD. The assessment of what was going on, they relied very heavily on EPA and OSHA, certainly, but it's the city's on the hook.
All right. Interesting stuff on both the Cuomo, the former Cuomo investigation of Governor Patterson, now the Judith Kaye investigation, and the settlement still to be determined whether it goes forward if they get that 95% of the plaintiffs approving it in the 9/11 responders case. WNYC's Bob Henley and Chris Fisher, editor-in-chief of the New York Law Journal. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, in fact, you can start calling now with your oral history of this weekend's heavy weather. We will take your calls on what happened on your block. And we'll also see if you have a name for the freaky storm. People have been posting their names on our website and on our Facebook page. We'll read some of those after the break. And we really want to know what's going on your block and what was extraordinary about the weather where you are over the weekend. 212-433-WNYC. Build our oral history of this weekend's heavy weather at 212-433-9692. Your calls after this.